I ran out of
It's okay.
That was a workout for my vocal cords. When larynx met pharynx, that should be our next podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Inquire TO. I'm Meredith.
And I'm Akrit. If you're new here, hi. And if you're a returning listener, thanks for coming back to learn more about the story of Toronto's new revolutionary choir, Voices Rock Medicine.
This season, we're profiling Voices Rock Medicine, a non-audition choir of women physicians. Voices Rock Medicine is under the umbrella of choirs of Voices Rock Canada. Last episode, we talked to Cheryl Bauer, the founder of Voices Rock Canada.
It was so great learning about the motivation behind creating Voices Rock Medicine and hearing about all the progress they made from their first rehearsal right up to the concert.
Today, we are so excited to have Anthony Bastianin, the artistic director of Voices Rock Canada and the man behind the musical development, here with us. Hi, Anthony. Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
We're going to start off with a question we ask all our guests. If you could sing with one artist, living or dead, who would it be and what song?
I've never thought of that because I'm not a singer. That's the funny thing is I work with choirs, but I'm not really, I'm a pianist. Right. So who would I sing with? Michael Jackson.
And what song?
I would write a song that we would do together.
Ooh.
It's a good answer.
That's exciting. That makes me excited.
The Toronto Theatre Database describes you as a composer, conductor, music director, musical director, musician, and orchestrator. That was a mouthful. Can you tell us a bit about your background as a musician?
Sure. I think one of the main things about a self-employed musician or most artists is you have to diversify. You have to try to do a lot of different things. So playing piano is one thing I do, music directing, leading choirs, coaching, teaching is part of it, writing music, arranging, all kinds of things. So you try to find your place in all of that. The bulk of my career so far has been in music theater as a musical director. So doing shows has been the main part of it as an MD.
And as you've established, you've worn a lot of hats in your career. What's been your favorite role?
I love writing music, and a couple of highlights would have been doing some professional workshops of musicals that I've written, and a couple of musicals have been produced in some regional theaters. So that's always pretty exciting when something you create is being produced. So that's always a highlight. There's also been some really great shows I've done with some fantastic musicians, fantastic singers. It's wonderful to be able to play with some really high level people.
Who are some of those people that you've played with?
So some of the musicians that I've worked with have been really incredible. I'm lucky that I get to regularly work with musicians who've toured the world, who are international musicians, who've worked with all sorts of artists in both the classical world and the pop world. These musicians are pretty phenomenal. These are the type of musicians where you walk into a room, you put music in front of them, and on site, they're playing it fantastically. So it's right away a very high level of musicianship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you kind of started in the musical theater area and you're working with these professional musicians, how did you get involved with Voices Rock Canada?
Okay, so because I've been doing a lot of different things, one of the things I did as well, I've sort of done it all my life, is work as a church musician. So I've always been directing a choir at a church or playing weddings and things like that. That's always been a little part of my life. I don't do it anymore, but I did do it for quite a long time. And about 4.5 years ago, Cheryl Bauer, the founder, she was looking to start something, and through some referrals, she found me and she asked if I was interested. Through some communication back and forth, we started a pilot project for 10 weeks for a kids rock choir. And from there, we kept growing, and now we're with 8 choirs under the umbrella of Voices Rock Canada.
It's pretty impressive and amazing, honestly. So a standout point about the various ensembles under Voices Rock Canada were that these choirs are non-auditioned. What do you mean by that, and what's unique about it, would you say?
So anyone can join the choir. There's no experiences necessary. There's no requirement to read music or sing at a certain level. Anyone can join. We do have some limits as far as how many people we take in every choir, but there's no requirements. So that's what non-audition means.
And what's unique about working with these non-auditioned choirs versus working with the professionals that you have worked with in the past or continue to work with today?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say that the expectation is different. So with amateur choirs, there's so many different types of choirs, and some people are there for a social aspect. So it's about meeting people and forming a community and a group of people that have same desires, and you all enjoy singing. So sometimes that social aspect becomes the driving force behind a choir. Other people have always enjoyed music and always want to sing. And so some choirs try to achieve a high level of music because those like-minded people want to get to the highest level they can as amateurs. When you move into professional work, now it's a whole other world of the expectation of the quality is very high, but now you have an audience that has expectations. So you are balancing the expectation of the audience and trying to create a great product, and at the same time, making sure that the process is of the highest caliber possible.
And how music literate would you say does someone have to be if they want to join an amateur choir?
For the Voices Rock Canada choirs, they don't have to read music. They don't even have to have any experience. They never have to have been in a choir before. So I have a strong belief that every single person in the world can sing. Usually people laugh and they usually talk about their dads, but I strongly believe every single person can sing, because to me it's just a skill. It's not some kind of foreign alien talent or some kind of dust that is sprinkled on you. Everyone has a skill to sing, and it's just like riding a bike. Once you learn the skill, everyone can sing. I've worked with thousands and thousands of people, from children right up to seniors, professionals, amateurs, college students, and I have yet to find someone that I cannot teach to match pitch and sing in tune. I still have not found someone that.
So there's hope for all of us.
There's hope for even the dads, even me.
What would you say would be the kind of one thing if somebody, you know, doesn't think that they can sing, what's one thing that they could do to try to become more skilled at it?
So there are some technical things you can learn about singing, which are pretty simple. I think it's pretty straightforward when it's taught clearly to you, but usually that's not the issue. Usually, I would say 95% of the time, a person will feel they can't sing because at some point, some horrible music teacher told them, just don't sing so loud, or just mouth the words, or someone has along the way has said, be quiet. And rather than encourage them to sing out and keep figuring out how to sing or teaching them techniques, they've been made to feel incapable. So, and they think that it's just a talent. You either have it or you don't. So that's usually what you're dealing with. So it's usually a psychological thing that's going on.
That's like, reminds me of a lot of people who are told they can't do math or something from a young age, you know, like their math teacher's like, oh, there's no hope. But then they actually find out that they can, you know.
Once they overcome that mental barrier.
Exactly. So this season of Inquire TO, we're focusing on specifically Voices Rock Medicine. So what's it like working with doctors compared to other mixed ensembles?
So I laugh right away because the first couple of rehearsals for Voices Rock Medicine was so intimidating for me because any choir, you have a lot of diversity. There's usually different age. All our choirs have different ages. Even Voices Rock Medicine, there's some women who are brand new doctors, and there's some who are retired. So there's a huge range of ages, and there's a huge range of abilities too. So, but that's pretty common among all our choirs. But this is the only choir where everyone has the same job. They're all in the exact same field. Mm-hmm. Now they have their different types of doctors, but they're all doctors. So it means that these are all I consider them very powerful people. They're very intelligent. They've worked extremely hard. They've probably overcome some pretty big challenges to achieve what they've achieved in the field that they have. So they also are moms. They have relationships. As doctors, you're a self-employed person. So these are pretty accomplished people. So walking into a room of that kind of group is intimidating. But along with all that, the funny thing was, we use a lot of humor. I use a lot of humor in choir rehearsal. So you have to imagine, when you go to see your doctor, you're not there to have a laugh. You're not there to joke around.
Right.
Some doctors can be very friendly, and most of them are very kind. But doctors are not there to have a laugh with you. Mm-hmm. And often they're dealing with the negative things about your health. So it's usually pretty serious conversations. So they're used to having very serious faces, they're very serious people. They're very academic people. So there I am in front of this group of 30 physicians, and I'm, you know, having some fun, joking around, and the faces are all completely dead straight, as if they are completely unimpressed with anything I'm saying. And so you immediately get very self-aware, and so it was intimidating. But after about 4 or 5 rehearsals, it really started to loosen up. I absolutely adore this group of women physicians. They're a lot of fun. They're really loving this time. It's amazing that they've been able to carve out a couple hours every week of their incredibly busy schedules to just do something for themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're there, to just have some time for themselves to decompress. And they really enjoy the community of it. It's a really fun time.
And if someone gets sick or loses their voice, do you take advice from the doctors?
That's funny, because so in teaching technical things about singing, you have to refer often to different parts of the anatomy. So sometimes I would mention something, and a couple times there'd be some blank looks, and I would mention something like the hyoid bone, which is a bone at the top of your trachea, your air pipe. And so I'd tease them and say, did you skip that class? How come you don't know this? So there's some technical things, for example, some really specific warm-ups that do some really amazing things that they had no idea about. So they became very academic at the moment. Like, they wanted me to hand them a textbook. But we talked about it, and it's great that I can actually use some complicated anatomy terms, and they get it right away, and they understand it, and they buy in right away to it. But no, I joke all the time about them being doctors, and mm-hmm. and sometimes I'll just say, you guys just have to wait outside for about an hour until I'm ready to start rehearsal. Sometimes they laugh, sometimes they don't.
So talk us through your process of choosing the music for the choir to sing.
So all the music is from the pop rock repertoire. You know, sometimes there's country songs, but it's all contemporary music. So the challenge with this is rock and roll in nature is rebellious. Mm-hmm. So finding music that doesn't have explicit lyrics is a challenge. And it doesn't just have to be swearing in the music. I try to avoid any negative ideas or themes in music. So I avoid things that deal with drug abuse. I avoid songs that deal with sexuality in the sense that when it's derogatory. And sometimes that's hard to find. So that immediately wipes out a huge chunk of songs. So then I'm, for Voices Rock Medicine specifically, I'm trying to find songs that are empowering, that match the strength of these women that I'm dealing with. And that's also a challenge. There's a lot of songs that don't meet up, meet that standard. So it ends up being a very small group of songs that I can choose from. Once I have some ideas of songs, then it just comes down to, will inspiration hit me when I sit at the piano and I try to figure out, can this song translate to a choir? And sometimes it's great, and sometimes I love the song, but I just don't figure out a way to make it work for a choir. So those are the main considerations when I'm choosing music.
So I would assume from that is that you arrange your own arrangements, like music?
I do all the arranging for Voices Rock. Every song is a custom arrangement for the choirs.
And why do you prefer that over like store-bought scores?
There aren't a lot of scores in the pop rock world.
Right.
And a lot of the arrangements that are out there of pop music are usually watered down or simplified so that high schools can use it, or, you know, groups, or maybe a music director who doesn't have a lot of experience, something that's very accessible to them. So they usually, those arrangements, those published arrangements are a little cleaner, a little water. Are simpler. And I try to keep the arrangements sounding very close and have a lot of integrity to the original music. So a lot of the harmonies we use wouldn't be the type of harmony you traditionally hear in an SATB choir, soprano, alto, tenor, bass.
Right.
I try to keep the harmony and the arrangements a little more to what you'd expect the rock or pop songs to be.
What are the benefits of arranging the choir in like the high, mid, and low parts instead of the traditional soprano, alto parts?
Yeah, as you know, Meredith, so I call the sections 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't call them soprano, alto, tenor, bass. So the reason is those terms, soprano, alto, usually have a lot of different, people have different ideas of what those terms mean.
True.
And in the opera world, a soprano does mean high voice, but there's also different qualities of soprano, and they usually are associated with different types of characters as well. And some people place a value upon whether you're a soprano or an alto or a tenor. Some people think one is better than the other. And in the pop rock world, when you go into a studio, you really don't talk about it that way. You talk about who's singing the top harmony, who's singing the middle harmony, who's got the bottom harmony. And you often talk about top, middle, bottom, or just these are the three parts. You don't even mention who's doing, you don't qualify it with a name. So I try to remove any misconceptions about what those parts are, and we just try to hit the different levels of harmony. So that's why I call it just 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great because drawing from my own personal experience, there definitely used to be a form of a level of supremacy attached to the higher parts. We used to call it the sopriarchy. And then the altos and the basses were the perceived underdogs.
Of course. There's even songs written about this. You know, there's right. songs written about the different sections of the choir. So, and you know, it all comes from the opera world. In the opera world, hundreds of years ago, it was the tenors and sopranos that got all the lead roles. It was the highest voices that are most valued. And in the pop world, it's usually the higher male voices that are valued and the lower female voices. That's usually what happens in the pop world. So there are some ideas that people come into a choir with, and I try to just get rid of all that by not labeling things.
Yeah, so that fosters a greater environment within the choir itself, I presume.
Yeah, I think each section understands what their role is because every section has value. You know, the bottom harmony is very much a root, a grounding for everything. The middle harmony is usually what creates a lot of richness in the texture. The higher harmony has to be incredibly in tune and usually creates the brilliance and the brightness of a pop harmony. So I think they all understand what they do and what their value is in the choir.
Yeah, that reminds me, like when you moved to Canada, you had to
switch parts.
Yeah, you switched parts.
Yes,
right?
I was a bass all my life, and I came here and I got to know that I'm a baritone. and I can hit the higher registers. So that was fascinating.
You're moving up in the hierarchy then.
Yes.
Yeah. But maybe not. Maybe it's all level. Is that what you're saying?
Of course it is, yeah.
So take us through a typical rehearsal. Do you always start with vocal warm-ups, or what does it usually look like?
Right. I always try to do a warm-up of some sort that usually involves some kind of technical education about the voice. So yes, we warm up, but most of these people have been speaking all day, so their voices are warm. In fact, they're probably tired. So if there's a lot of singing and warm-ups and challenging exercises, you're just tiring them out even more. So I try, in fact, to do some exercises that are a little more relaxing, things that will calm down any stress around the muscles surrounding the vocal cords. So that's usually what I focus on. And then I try to have a teaching moment in there somewhere. And then that's only a few minutes. And then we just move right into learning repertoire. If it's early on in the season, it's a lot of me hitting notes out and them and singers repeating. So a lot of the learning is done by rote because I don't expect anyone to be able to read music. I create rehearsal recordings for people. So it's me plunking out notes on the piano. And so a lot of people take those home and spend some time at home. And then once we get further into the season, it's more about reviewing as much as possible, a lot of repetition with the songs because we do everything from memory so that no one's holding any music.
Right.
So they have to memorize. So the more repetition we can put into rehearsal, the better. And then we just polish, polish, polish.
And why is it that you prefer for the choir to be off book and not to hold the score in front of them?
Because of the contemporary music that we use, because it's pop rock, it looks a little strange to be holding music. I also don't stand in front of them as a conductor. I'm usually playing a keyboard I'm within the band. You know, when Aerosmith performs, they don't have a conductor standing in front of them. So I try to avoid that traditional idea of a conductor. I still do some conducting and cueing from the keyboard, but the music doesn't require a full-time conductor up there waving his or her hands the whole time.
So I think the modern nature of the music itself requires that the setup, the musical setup in the concert be altered and evolve, if I may say, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's a different setup. We do have usually a four-piece rock band that's accompanying the choir. And because it's pop rock music, sound requirements, the sound system is really a critical part of the setup. So I spend a lot of time working and designing that as well. And then it's a balance of having a lot of fun because it's rock music and trying to achieve the highest level of singing we can as a group.
And going back to when you were walking us through a typical rehearsal, how long does one rehearsal session last?
Right now, all our rehearsals are 90 minutes. So we don't take a break in the middle of them. We just run straight through for 90 minutes. And it seems to be the right length for what we're doing.
Great. What are some of the creative challenges that you've faced while leading specifically Voices Rock Medicine?
Creative challenges? That's a good question. So there's the choosing of the repertoire is a big challenge. But I do take a lot of requests from I take a lot of suggestions from the choir members. And so I usually listen to, in a season, I'll listen to thousands of songs and read thousands of lyrics to come down to maybe a dozen songs that we pick. So that's a time-consuming challenge about the repertoire. For the actual choir and the singers in the choir, I think a challenge is just the huge range of abilities within a choir. There are people who can pick things up very quickly, and there are people who need a lot of repetition. So if you go too slow, more advanced people are going to get really bored. If you go too fast, you're going to lose some of the people who take more time. So it's finding that line that will meet everyone's needs and hopefully keep everyone engaged and make it fun for everyone. So that's usually the challenge.
It sounds like the doctors have learned so much in the past couple months working with this choir. What would you say you've learned?
I think that one of the challenges that, I don't know if I've put this on myself or if it's come organically out of the group, is trying to find a standard or a level of excellence that matches these amazing women in this choir. The high intelligence, high achieving, very focused, and yet a ton of fun. I think finding that balance to be just a real person and be able to talk to a bunch of doctors in a very casual way, have fun singing, and yet still be striving for really high excellence. I think that's been the challenge, and that's what I've loved learning about through this process.
That is excellent. And I feel like that provides a real insight to our listeners as well into what kind of a group Voices Rock Medicine is.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we hear there's a concert coming up, and we're glad that we'll be invited. Cheryl promised us tickets.
So awesome, you'll really enjoy pumped. It.
What should the audience be excited about the upcoming concert?
I think because VR Medicine is pretty new, I think people's expectations are probably all over the place. And my guess is most people are not going to expect much when they think, there's a bunch of doctors singing on stage. How good can this be? And so there's a few things that are going to be, I think, surprising. Firstly would be the high level of musicians. The musicians I have playing are spectacular people. They're going to be really enjoyable to listen to. And then I think people will just be surprised at the level of singing that these doctors have. You know, it's not something you don't walk into an office and imagine, oh, I could imagine that doctor being a really great singer. Yeah. So that's always a surprise. And then there's a huge amount of fun to know these are all doctors, but they're just wearing jeans and t-shirts and having fun and bopping on stage. And so the element of fun, I think, is always a surprise.
And do you think Voices Rock Medicine can do wonders in terms of changing the perception of how serious and monotonous doctors can be?
That's an amazing question. And I think it's a really important one because it's one of the main reasons the group was started. So a big shout out to the doctor who approached Cheryl Bauer to start this. Her name is Susan Thuin. She is the one who had an idea to start a choir for doctors because she knows how stressed out this career can get, and she knew that there needed to be some sort of decompression opportunity. And from what I understand, there is an organization for women in medicine, and there are things like yoga classes and different activities they do. And so Susan had this idea of starting a choir, and I think that's one of the biggest things about this group, is that it's exactly what you've just, you know, what you've just asked about. It's providing this amazing opportunity for this group of women who probably really need these 90 minutes a week to sing,
right,
and forget about other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really does sound exactly like what the benefit is. And I'm really excited to see them in concert because, I mean, you're really hyping them up right now.
Well, I'm really enjoying my time with them. At the same concert, there's going to be another choir performing as well. So there'll be two different choirs performing. So it should be a real fun concert in a fantastic venue.
Yeah, and we'll have a few more episodes for our listeners before then, just interviewing some of the choir members and coming to your rehearsals. So you'll get a sneak peek of what's happening behind the scenes.
Exclusive.
Too. Yeah, exclusive. So, Anthony, once again, thank you so much for coming in and joining us on the podcast. We loved learning about your background as a musician and all the amazing things you're doing for VRC and Voices Rock Medicine.
Thank you very much. It's great. This is a great idea for a podcast, too.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just like last episode, here's a recording of Voices Rock Medicine's rendition of Landslide by Fleetwood Mac.
That's the end of our episode for the week. Thank you so much for listening.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on Podbean and follow us on Instagram at InquireTO.
Stay tuned for our next episode where we go behind the scenes to a Voices Rock Medicine rehearsal and talk to the doctors who are performing in the concert in May.
We're the new kids on the block in choir podcasts, but there's another podcast talking about music. Have you ever wondered who makes better music, a choir or a boy band? I feel Meredith and I feel pretty strongly about that.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's a choir, but the crew over at Sound Assortment don't have favorites. They'll talk about anything as long as it's about music. Sound Assortment is a podcast for people who love to talk about the arts without all the theory stuff.
Check them out on Podbean and Twitter.